And you're listening to The Point. I'm Catherine Ident in for Mindy Todd. And now we continue our conversations with the candidates running for state senator in the Plymouth and Barnstable district. The primary is March 3rd with a special election on March 31st. And this is to fill a seat vacated by Senator Vinnie DiMacedo. He accepted a job at Bridgewater State University. And this morning, we're going to talk with Republican candidate Jesse Brown from Plymouth. Good morning, Jesse.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm well. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Let's start off by tell us a little bit about who you are.
A Marine Corps veteran, a business owner, and a co-founder of a nonprofit group that helps veterans in need. I joined the Marine Corps when I was 17 years old, right out of high school. And after that, I started, when I got honorably discharged as a sergeant, I started climbing cell towers out of a business out of Marshfield, Massachusetts. And after that, 12 years ago, I decided to start my own business, doing the same thing in the wireless communications field, and become one of the largest veteran-owned businesses in the state of Massachusetts. And in 2013, co-founded a nonprofit group that helps veterans in need. We do everything from wheelchair ramps to modifying bathrooms to boilers in veterans' homes, but also, you know, doing resume writing classes and getting suits for veterans so they can go on their job interviews. Big person to see people succeed and helping people out, because when people succeed, we all succeed.
I want to get right to talking about some of your goals and visions if you were to become state senator. Read that one of your goals is to prioritize smart economic development. You're a businessman, as you just said. Talk about what that would look like.
Well, smart economic development, obviously the driver for anything for economic growth in any community is businesses. The small businesses are the driver to have the community. And the reason I say smart economic growth is because when you have the businesses in there, it lowers your tax rate, or potentially can lower your tax rate. The more businesses that are there, it lowers the tax rate for the residents. You know, being on the campaign trail and probably knocked on over 2,000 doors already, the number one issue I'm hearing are the taxes. People are afraid of losing their homes, especially the seniors. So we need to encourage and incentivize businesses to grow and not penalize them through higher taxes.
And I imagine of those 2,000 doors you've knocked on, you've talked to some small business owners. You're hearing that taxes is one of their biggest concerns. What else do you hear from businesses, especially on the Cape?
Yeah, taxes, you know, insurances, the basics of what they're just... They're thriving at the same time, but they're struggling. So as they start thriving, they feel that they're getting hit more and more with fees, rules, regulations that hinder their progress.
Okay. And you mentioned lowering taxes and that you feel that people are telling you that that's a burden. How would you go about doing that and kind of managing it? Because, of course, you'll have a say in the budget if you were elected and were up on Beacon Hill.
Well, the number one priority is not to have new taxes. That's number one. So obviously we hear about the TCI gas tax being probably everywhere on the news right now. So I strongly oppose that, because I just know personally as a business owner, that would cost me over $100,000 a year just by the fuel. And that gets translated down to, you know, I can't hire anybody else, and it stops and hinders my business. But also I use this example of when you have those higher taxes, it just is a domino effect. So if the delivery person's going to the supermarket, the cost just gets relayed, never mind the higher fuel costs, it gets relayed into the food that you're buying. So it's just a complete domino effect. So we need to stop that first.
Okay. And the Transportation Climate Initiative, that's TCI, that's
correct.
What you mentioned. And that's been promoted by Governor Charlie Baker to cap and reduce greenhouse gas emissions. I just wanted to, for folks who may not be familiar with what that is. So you don't support that?
I do not support the TCI gas tax, no.
What about issues of climate change? You know, we talk a lot about that down here, especially with rising sea level. Are you hearing talk about that as well? And what are your thoughts on how to address that? You know, the towns especially, I think more and more are thinking about that issue.
Yeah, the number one thing is being prepared, knowing what the issues are and prioritizing the number one issues. Obviously, we're a coastal community, so I know being an MVP community we have out there, you get the grants so you can see what is going on. But number one is being prepared. Number two is securing the funding. Number three is advocating out there also, but then putting the environmental infrastructure projects in place that are prioritized. So number one, you have to be prepared for it, knowing what the number one issue is, and go from there. You're going to have 20 issues, but what is the primary issue right now? And the primary issue is, you know, it's the coastal. what I feel. It's coastal is a big thing. I mean, I actually, with those storms we had a couple of years ago, one of the homes that I actually happened to be in temporarily, the deck fell off the house into the ocean because the waves were just kept hitting and hitting and hitting, and it would just fell into the ocean. So, you know, we see that there's a coastal landscape change, so we have to be prepared for that, but also get the funding and do the work, actually.
Okay, and so you would prioritize funding that you would direct to help support towns for things like resiliency?
If it's healthy, yeah, if whatever the priority, if we were prepared for it and then we prioritize it, there would be funding. There would have to be.
You know, your district spans both sides of the bridges. You just talked about Plymouth, you know, a large town geographically, never mind population-wise. You know, and the Cape has its own identity. You've got a couple towns on the Upper Cape that are part of your district. You know, what are some of the differences you see that you've learned as you've been going around and talking to folks? And what would you keep in mind if you went up to Beacon Hill and took those ideas up there?
Well, I do see that all people are the same. You know, we always hear that above the bridge, below the bridge, or the canal splits it. I mean, it's a waterway. Everybody's the same. So what I do see, though, is, again, the issues that I see the most are taxes. It doesn't matter where I go. It could be in Pembroke, Kingston, Plymouth, Bourne, Sandwich, and Falmouth. It's taxes. Mm-hmm. That's hands down the number one thing that I see, that I hear out there.
What about with the bridges? We've, of course, heard of some plans are in place with two bridges, obviously two new bridges that would go to the Cape. What do you think state lawmakers' role should be as that project progresses? It's an Army Corps project, but there's state roads involved, and, of course, there are a lot of small businesses and residents around the area that are either near it physically or affected by it.
That's the number one thing. I think that's obviously tourism is a huge industry down here, probably the number one industry. So you don't want that to be affected with the building of these bridges. And it will be. So we have to, with the new infrastructure, we have to have new bridges. I've stated that the bridges are outdated. So the new bridges have to go in. But the way we go about that, it has to not affect the residents on both sides of the bridges, not just everywhere, because it will. Never mind just traffic, but it's more the economic aspect of it. We don't want people losing their businesses, their homes. So the bridges themselves, they have to be built, but to have them built have to go in a manner that is most effective for all of us.
There's been some talk about installing tolls because, of course, these projects would be, you know, massive and hugely expensive. Would you be in support of a way to raise revenue to pay for those?
You know, I'm a big person that there's reform before revenue, so I'm against any tolls that are out there. That's just a hindrance to the taxpayers. So I'm completely against tolls.
I want to switch subjects now and take a look at the opioid crisis, of course, ongoing and serious. We hear a lot about it in the news every day. How would you address this crisis from a legislative standpoint if you were elected?
Well, the number one is, again, we have to have treatment. That's the big one. There's a program actually in Plymouth called from the Plymouth County Outreach, the program, which is a terrific program. If someone overdoses, there's a plainclothes police officer and a medical professional that go into the overdose victim's house and is trying to get them help right then and there. Because within that time frame, within those first 72 hours, that's the most time that they will accept help. But we have to have those treatment facilities so they can get that help. So I would, you know, it's somebody's brother, somebody's sister, parent. It's across the board and it affects everybody. So we have to help them.
Do you support the idea of safe injection sites? That's been talked about quite
a
bit.
I do not.
You do not support?
Do not support that. So, it just, to me, that actually, it promotes the drug use than anything.
Okay. What about the idea of making Massachusetts a sanctuary state? There's a bill on Beacon Hill that would limit the interaction between law enforcement and U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Of course, also lots of debate on both sides about the merits of this, but where would you stand on that issue?
So actually, this is a question that I hear, not too much, but there's another fairly large question that I hear. So I just want to make it very clear that I'm 100% oppose sanctuary cities and sanctuary states.
No room.
It's as simple as that. 100% oppose sanctuary cities and sanctuary states, and driver's licenses for illegals. I oppose that completely.
Okay. And Pilgrim Nuclear Power Plant, an issue, again, as we were talking about spanning both sides of the bridges, Pilgrim Nuclear Power Plant in Plymouth, it has been decommissioned. They're in the process of moving those spent fuel rods. But, you know, any kind of fallback would impact Cape Cod, so we pay a lot of attention to it here. Do you have concerns? Do you keep an eye on what's happening there? And would you, as a state lawmaker?
Well, here's the fun. I actually drive past that power plant every single day. So when you say if I keep my eye on it, I legitimately actually keep my eye on it every single day. And it's obviously we want to, the number one key to everything and is safety. You know, those rods have to be put in the dry cast and that's the number one thing. You know, you have to do everything step by step. So that's the first step to get that into the dry cast to start in the decommission process. But we have to monitor that, and safety is paramount in that. That's, you can't even express how much safety is paramount there.
Absolutely. Do you hear people talk about that at all in some of your travels around the district?
Not too much.
You prioritize public safety as one of your goals. So talk about what your vision for that would be as a lawmaker.
Well, obviously, I said I oppose sanctuary cities, oppose sanctuary state. You know, law enforcement needs our full support in every aspect. We need to take care of our police, first responders, fire. They need the tools to do their job properly. And, you know, when we're defying federal immigration law, it's not promoting that we're taking care of our law enforcement. They need all the tools to do their job properly and to keep us safe.
Mm-hmm. And there's been talk and efforts down here to create some training facilities down here. Do you support having training facilities kind of localized, or how would you deal with that as a lawmaker?
Training facilities as in for law enforcement?
Yeah, for police officers.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you have to have that. You got to realize, like a police officer, they're turnover ratio is higher for just because of their job, what it is. So you have to have a constant flow of people and recruits going back into the corrections officers or police, fire. You have to have a constant flow with that. So the training is critical.
And you would help to direct funding toward that to encourage more
of
that? The cost of living, as we know, in this region is particularly high. You know, it's affecting people across the spectrum, but young families on the Cape and elderly folks as well trying to find housing. You know, what would you do to kind of help mitigate that? The governor has talked a lot about kind of wide-scale statewide plans for addressing this issue, which has been called a crisis in Boston and elsewhere. So it's not unique to the Cape, but certainly it's something that's talked about a lot here.
Yeah, it's one thing that I believe in is, you know, I see rules and regulations, zoning, we have to loosen that so we can create more building. It's a simple thing as a supply and demand. When there's more supply, you know, the prices are going to go down. It's a simple business thing if you create more supply. So there is a one where you have the accessory buildings where you can put in, you know, just something as simple as that to where you can bring some families want to live together. They can create more financial stability within their own home. If they live together, if they choose to live together, especially seniors, if they want to live with their families.
Mm-hmm. How do you see your relationship as a future lawmaker with towns and with ideas like this, like helping to ease zoning? How would you work with towns?
Well, being in business, that's what I've learned all throughout my career, that you have to be able to work with people. You have to be respectful. You have to be able to compromise. And that's something that I do bring, you know, being a very effective voice for, never mind the people that work at my company, but that I've helped throughout the years, that you just be an effective voice. You have to be able to work with people. You have to be able to compromise. And that's what I plan to do.
Another issue, of course, perennial issue that we talk about with lawmakers is education funding. And there was a big bill passed in the last session that's going to be funneling billions of dollars across the state to kind of update the education reform formula. But, you know, of course, there's always problems within the education system, and people, I'm sure, could always ask for more money. So how do you look at education needs, and what would be your priority?
Well, first, I would have to look, obviously, at the budget, because everybody requires money. And I just say where it gets allocated properly, that's what we need to look at. If the money gets allocated into certain programs throughout the districts, obviously, the money's there. Education is extremely important. Our children are extremely important. But we have to look at it line by line to see where that money's going and allocate it properly.
You mentioned at the beginning that you're a veteran, you were in the Marine Corps, and you own a small business in the telecommunications industry. Talk a little bit more about how those life experiences will factor into your potential new job as representing a variety of people in towns.
Well, again, like I just said, you have to be able to compromise, work with people, negotiate, come up with deals on a daily basis. I don't think it's any different than going up to the State House. As long as you do it in an effective, responsible manner and you're able to compromise with people, it's the same exact thing.
Mm. And finally, you know, you are going up against one other Republican and then past the primaries, a Democrat. What makes you the best candidate to fill this seat in the state Senate representing the Plymouth and the Cape District?
I listen. And I use this example the whole time, is that you take the two words, listen and silent. Those are the same exact letters reversed. So I listen.
And do you have any message you want listeners to have for listeners to better understand what your priorities are and what you're hoping to do as a lawmaker?
Again, my biggest priority right now is the lowering taxes. That's number one. So, and stop taxes, as I said right from the beginning. That's our number one priority. But if you want to learn more about us and everything, it's on votejessebrown.com or go on our Facebook page at Jesse Brown at State Senate.
Well, Jesse Brown, a Republican candidate for State Senate for the seat recently vacated by Vinny DiMacedo. Thank you so much for coming in and talking about some of your priorities. We wish you the best of luck.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
We will have a link to this conversation along with a schedule of when we'll be speaking with all of the candidates running for this state Senate seat representing the Plymouth and Barnstable District. And you can find that at our website, capeandislands.org. I'm Catherine Iden in for Mindy Todd. Thanks for listening to The Point.